PlanetRadio.com worldwide, and very shortly we'll be heading over to Ireland and over to Francis Black. In the meantime, though, let me play a track from CD. I believe it's not even released yet, but here is Francis Black's version of It's Too Late. 9:25 a.m. in New York City.
In bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing, or maybe we've just stopped trying. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late.
Francis Black in a couple of minutes, but I just want to fill you in a little bit about her own background. Actually, Nancy Griffith called Francis Black the sweetest voice of Ireland, and you know, to say that she's Ireland's best loved and most enduring artist since the late 80s. A string of best-selling albums and awards and many other accolades, and part of the famous Black family. There is a I want to play a little bit of this for you because it is her newest song. And it's called Francis Black Love Song. And then we'll talk to her.
The words I have to say may well be simple, but they're true. Thank you.
indeed. Frances Black, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Adrian. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Did I hear that the whole gang of you were on a cruise very recently from here?
We were indeed. We were just, we headed off on the Joni Madden cruise on the 1st of February, and it was lovely. We had a lovely time. Just, it was great catching up with everybody. And we just, it was just brilliant. And of course, Joni is fantastic, as you know. She's brilliant.
Amazing, yeah.
Amazing, yeah.
And, there was a very glowing review of the trip by Paul Keating. Now, what and how often does the Black family get together? You know, that taking all of you, you all have, you know, individual careers and so forth, but how often do you kind of get together? Because you were on the cruise there, was it Shay or Michael? One of them was missing, but the rest were there.
Oh, no, we were all, well, my brother Martin wasn't, he doesn't travel anymore, and
okay.
So my brother Martin, but myself, Shay, Michael and Mary, we were on the cruise this time, just this gone, so, yeah, I mean, we try and get together as much as we possibly can, you know, like, for example, last year, my son got married, and of course, all the family, you know, came home from the States, and we did, I think, at least one gig anyway in Ireland. We were up in Donegal, we did a gig up in Donegal, and then we did a festival in Denmark. So, but it's not often we do it. It's not often we do it, because our schedules, we're all so busy, and, you know, I'm very involved with the Rise Foundation, but I'm also doing my music. Mary is doing her tours. The boys are doing their gigs. So to try and get us all together can be a little bit of a problem.
Absolutely.
But we do our best. We do our very best to try and get together as much as we can.
One of our cherished memories is having all of you, including your mom, the studio on St. Patrick's Day, on even more than one occasion. But it was great, and no surprise, indeed, to hear and where all that music came from. But actually, both your mom and dad were musical and had their own careers. Were they professional musicians?
Oh, no. I mean, not at all. My father was a plasterer who came from Rathlin Island off North Antrim, and my mother just, you know, she loved songs and singing and sing songs. No, they weren't at all professional musicians. They just loved the session, you know, sing song, as I say, and, you know, at least once a month my father would have, we'd have a sing song. He'd go up to the pub of a Sunday night and he'd bring back a few people and we'd have a sing song in the house, and you know, that was the norm for us, you know. So no, they certainly weren't professional musicians at all. They just loved the crack.
More than 20 years actually, going back I think about 21 years or so. You were known as the shyest of the lot. I don't know whether that is true or not, but that's what they say. That's what they're saying.
Is that what they
that's
say?
That's what they're saying behind your back now.
Yeah, I suppose I was pretty shy when I was young, you know, and I probably wouldn't have been as inclined to, I mean, I had no intention of going into the music business at all, ever. So, you know, I just didn't think I had it in me, to be honest with you. And it just kind of all happened I kind of fell into it, really. I was very fortunate to be, you know, asked to join the band, Arcady, and then I was just, I really don't know how it all happened, to be honest with you, but I'm still not the better of the shock, to be honest. But, you know, it's brilliant. I mean, the music has been very, very good to me, and has given me a life, I suppose, beyond my wildest dreams. I've travelled the world, and
sure.
I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, as busy as your career is and has been, at what point did you decide that not only exposing your own difficulty with what is sometimes annoyingly referred to as the Irish problem, addiction. At what point did you say, because many wouldn't have had the nerve to continue with the image and the presence, and you're climbing the ladder of success, and you decided that you should do something to create awareness. Tell us about the Rise Foundation.
Well, Adrian, I've spoken very openly. I made a decision, I don't know how many years ago now, to when I went on the Late Late Show a few years back, to talk about my own recovery from, you know, alcoholism and alcohol misuse. And I suppose I was quite shocked at the reaction to that, in the sense that we were inundated with calls from, particularly from family members, looking for help and support and guidance, and what do we do and how do we deal with it and all of that. And in the meantime, my mum had passed away in 2003, and God love her, she left us all small amount of money, nothing really but a small amount. But I wanted to do something very kind of positive with it. I didn't want to go on a holiday or anything like that. I wanted to do something that would be kind of a gift to her. So I decided to go back to college. I left school when I was about 15, and I went back to college, and I wanted to learn about, I suppose, alcohol misuse and you know, the impact that it has, and the disease of addiction and how powerful it is. And I believe knowledge is power. It's amazing. I mean, I just went back to learn. And when I went back to learn, I was asked to... you have to train in a treatment center or somewhere like that. Yeah. So I went to train in the Rutland Treatment Center. And it was there that I loved the work. They kept me on as a therapist there. And I'm a therapist now, which is fantastic. But I loved the work, and I loved working with those who were trying to get into recovery. But it was there that I met the families, and I saw the impact that, you know, when you know, alcohol misuse or any type of addiction comes into the home, into the family, it impacts everybody, and it kind of spreads through the family. It's a family disease. So I thought, I really felt that there was a need to set up an organization to, I suppose, educate the families, and I suppose for them to have their own therapeutic process. Because the person in addiction needs an awful lot of support and help and a therapeutic process, but so does the families. So that's why I set up the Rise Foundation. And the Rise Foundation is an organization that doesn't really deal with those in addiction, but we work with the families in a very intense. We have a lot of therapeutic, we have counselors, it's very educational, and it's very powerful. We have a 10-week family program, and we also have a residential, and it's just going from strength to strength. And that's why I was over in the States for the last 2.5 weeks, kind of traveling around and, I suppose, spreading the word about what's going on in Ireland. And without kind of, believe me, Adrian, we're not anti-alcohol at all, but there's a huge problem here in Ireland. You know, one person every 7 hours is dying from an alcohol-related problem. You know, 2,000 hospital beds are taken up per night. With alcohol misuse, causing the government $3.7 billion a year dealing with this issue. So, you know, it's a huge, huge problem, and I really felt we needed to address it. And the way to address it is by getting into the family home and then moving out into the community, and then hopefully moving out into society and trying to spread the word, you know, and then also try and get the government bodies on board as well to support us. So that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to create awareness about the problem. And, you know, because I really feel that we're losing our young people to alcohol, and it's really scary. It's getting very, really, really frightening.
You know, it is no secret, indeed, that many people throughout the world have the impression Irish people somehow all are sometimes measured because of the mirth, the song, the music, and indeed, sometimes tongue in cheek, saying the greatest drinkers in the world. Much of that, I would imagine, definitely in the United States, dates back to vaudeville, where during that period of time, the image of the Irish being, you know, so full of fun, invariably toasting the glass and, you know, acting the aegis and that kind of image was one that we have tried very, very hard to get over.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any point earlier on when anybody would have, addressed addiction, and indeed it was the family secret that if somebody was afflicted with this addiction, that the fewer who knew about that problem, the better, and this has wreaked havoc with families throughout the world. What about now with the collapse of the Celtic Tiger and the unemployment situation in Ireland and many, is there an increase in addiction? Is there an openness? I know you've brought it to the fore, but is there more of an openness now than when you were a teenager?
Well, I think, you know, I definitely think the problem is getting worse, and I think there's a few reasons for that. I mean, I don't think the Celtic Tiger helped, because it was almost like as if we had a disease here in Ireland called the Moore disease. I mean, we couldn't get enough of anything, you know what I mean? We had to have more houses, and we had to have more bigger houses, and we had to have bigger cars, and we had to have more alcohol and more everything. So, you know, I don't think it helped, and I think there's the fallout from that. I'm not so sure that, you know, sometimes the word addiction puts people off. I think it's more the alcohol misuse. It's a problem in Ireland. There's kind of different stages of addiction. There's early, middle, and late.
Uh-huh.
So the late stages, I'm not so sure we're at there, but I certainly think we're at the middle stages where it's a huge problem. Alcohol misuse is a huge problem, and it's causing problems within the family home. I do think the Celtic Tiger, but I also, and of course there's now, you know, the job situation here in Ireland, and I think more and more people actually are doing more online gambling, which is because people are looking for the quick, you know, easy way to make a buck or whatever. But the reality is that I think another problem is the fall of the Catholic Church in a way. You know, I mean, you know, we are a very spiritual nation. We're a wonderful people. We're probably the most creative in the world. We're probably the most, we were at one point the most spiritual. We're a great race, but the most kind and caring people that you could possibly imagine. You know, we look after each other, you know, and the creativity in this country with film and music and dance and everything is just, you know, beyond. And yet, as you say, and this is a quote from Gareth O'Connor, where he says, Dr. Gareth O'Connor, who thankfully is now working along with the Rise Foundation with us, he says, we are now known as a race of drunks, you know, and it's not really on. I mean, we don't want to be seen as that, you know. And yet, you know, when we have, you know, leaders from all over the world coming over to Ireland, they're all photographed with pints of Guinness.
Right.
And I'm just not so sure it's a good message, and everybody cheers and goes, fair play to him, he's one of us, and, you know, and I'm just not so sure it's a good message to be sending our young people. And, you know, and it's, everything is around, you know, the pub and the crack and the pints and all of that, and that's not who we are. That's not just who we are. We're more than that. We're much, much more than that. We're very intelligent, you know, business. We've great, you know, business people in this country. We're a fantastic race, but unfortunately it's been clouded by alcohol, and our young people, today, as you know, suicide is a huge problem in this country. Mental health is a huge problem in this country. And I believe, and this is only my own personal opinion, Adrian, I believe alcohol plays a role in that. Alcohol is a depressant. So if you're feeling a little bit, if you have low self-esteem or unworthy or you're not being able to get a job or whatever it is,
yeah.
And you go out on the tear for the weekend, you're going to feel really low and down and depressed when the alcohol starts leaving your body. And that's when it all becomes magnified. And I think that's what the problem is. It's a huge problem. It's not that we're drinking every single day of the week, but we're a nation of binge drinkers, you know, and we're also a nation of in denial. So it's only when you go, for me anyway, and again, I'm only talking personally, when I go to somewhere like the States and the emphasis is not as much on alcohol. I'm not saying that there's not a problem there, but the emphasis when you go out socially is not really on alcohol. Whereas in Ireland, everything is centred around alcohol, the pub, the drink, you know, the christenings, the weddings, the funerals, it's all alcohol, the music, everything is all around alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to just see change, and I believe that we can do it. I mean, who thought that, you know, the no-smoking ban would ever come into Ireland? And
right.
That took a lot of work. It took 10 years of you know, people trying to campaign, and eventually, you know, we got a minister who implemented it. And I believe we can do the change. We can do the same with alcohol. We can look at, you know, the way, I mean, it's in our souls. You know, it really
yeah.
is. It's part of who we are. It's part of our culture. But we can change that. And, you know, and I suppose the reason I went to the States is to try and get as many champions on board, you know, people over there who can hear what I'm trying to say. When I'm in Ireland, it's hard for people to hear because, you know, I worry that they might think I'm kind of a, you know, party pooper or, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
Whereas over in the States, you're more inclined to hear and listen and say, yeah, let's do something about it. So I suppose that's why I was traveling around the States to try and create that awareness. And I was in New York. I met some fantastic people this week in New York.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just brilliant, you know, fantastic.
The thin line between alcohol abuse and drug abuse, both prescription drugs and indeed the illegal drugs, is there a sense that perhaps the abuse of alcohol can lead to drugs, or somehow maybe drugs which sound fairly harmless and are used and has a good kind of ring to it about you know, we, most of us throughout the world now are on more prescription drugs than ever before. What is there, what's the correlation there?
Well, I suppose what happens is, I mean, because of, and again, this is my own personal opinion, the way I feel about it is that because alcohol is almost part of our lives. The connection and the relationship that we as a nation have with alcohol, we almost look on it as our friend and our, you know, we're very inclined to rely on it. And our social, you know, our weekends are all centered around, you know, alcohol and
yeah.
going out on the tear. And you might go out Friday, Saturday and Sunday night. When Monday, or even Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then when Monday comes, the alcohol starts to leave your body and you're feeling very down, you get over the hangover, but then there's this feeling of feeling down and not being able to cope and lack of motivation and, you know, and you feel you're just not coping very well. And you think, oh, I'm very tired and I'm very lethargic, and you end up going to the doctor and saying, I'm just feeling very down and low, and before you know it, you're on, you know, antidepressants or sleeping tablets or whatever it is, or Xanax or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that that's the reality all of the time, you know, but I'm saying that it can easily slip into it. It's just the quick fix. We look for the quick fix all
right.
of the time,
yeah.
and that would be a concern. But there's no doubt
yeah.
about that prescription tablets are a problem.
My guest, friends, live from Ireland is Francis Black, Ireland's extraordinarily well, your fan club is worldwide, actually, and I think most people who would know about you and your music might indeed pay attention to you. And I think that's probably one of the reasons, the motivation, you know, for you to start this foundation. I want to get back, though, Francis, to what sounds to me like the intervention that the person who is suffering from abusive alcohol has a family around. Now, how welcome would you be, or indeed your organization, the Rise Foundation, in approaching a family? How does that happen?
Well, what we do is, I mean, we've had huge, I suppose, again, as you say, I'm very lucky that I'm in a situation here in Ireland that the media, I already have a relationship with the media. So I've been very fortunate here in Ireland. The media have been very good to me and have given the Rise Foundation, you know, a lot of airtime. We released an album last year, and we had fantastic, wonderful people like John Prine and Bonnie Raitt and Leonard Cohen and David Crosby and Maura O'Connell, brilliant people who donated tracks for our Rise album. And this album really, one of the papers, the major newspapers here in Ireland, took the album and ran with it, and we had a huge advertising campaign. We had television ads, radio ads, it was all over the papers, which was fantastic. So what that did was create awareness that we were an organisation that could support families. So more and more people started to come. Family members are very, very shy about coming forward, and they carry huge shame because somewhere in it all they feel they're in some way responsible. So it's hard to get that message across. Listen, we're here to support you. But more and more families were now inundated. We run a service of a 10-week family program. We have a residential. We have a one-to-one service. And we're absolutely run off our feet. Now, we're a charity, so it's hard going because obviously finances are difficult for us. But we, you know, the therapists we have, and I'm a therapist myself. I'm working in the organization, and they're just brilliant. And so it's a tough road for us, I suppose, from a financial point of view, because there's hardly any money in Ireland. But on another level, we're now starting an aftercare program, you know, so we're hoping to get a children's program set up, because we believe it's all about, as well, you know, it's about prevention as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get to the families and get them to look at what their normal, what so-called normal drinking is, and these people don't have problems, but they will look at their own behaviours within the alcohol scene here in Ireland and curtail, and that will help the children. And it's all about the children, and it's all about the how we can help, how we can get to the children, you know, so that we can prevent them from going down, to change that culture for them. Yeah. And that's what's really important, and that's why we want to try and get a children's program. Hopefully we get a children's program if we get the funding this year. We're hoping to get a centre built up on Rathlin Island as well. Again, it'll be an education and therapeutic, so that we can bring young people up to talk to them about it. We can bring community workers up. We can bring doctors up. We can bring, you know, so we can educate the community in general. But the families are coming more and more to us. The family members are coming more and more to us and getting the support and finding whether their loved one is active or not active, whether their loved one may be in recovery. They still need their own recovery. The family members need their own recovery, because the heartbreak and the devastation can lead to all sorts of unhealthy emotions like anger, frustration, sadness, loss, grief. And they need their own recovery around that, you know. And that's very important, very important.
Now, it can be said, though, that Ireland has some of the strictest DWI and DUI laws in Europe. Many would say, though, that other than taking the risk of killing themselves and others on the road, that now getting cheap alcohol into the home is, if anything, it is contributing tremendously to the problem of alcohol abuse.
That's true. It is true. More and more people are drinking at home, and then the pricing laws here alcohol is very cheap. And I know, I mean, you know, and the off licenses now have delivery services, so they deliver to the home, so you don't even have to leave your home. You know, so it's like instead of ordering pizza, you can order your bottle, your two bottles of wine or your bottle of whatever it is that you want, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it is getting to be more of a problem, and it's becoming more of a hidden problem.
Yeah.
Or else, you know, people will drink at home before they go out. So it's that they're completely annihilated when they'd have one or two drinks and then they go out.
Yeah.
So,
I wanted to tell you, because we're almost out of time here. The rise is recovery in a safe environment, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. You know, with that, it is self-explanatory. And I know that there are many people who would like to know more about it. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Just www.therisefoundation.ie. Go on to our website and you can contact us. Just go on to our inquiry form, and there's plenty of, you can get, you know, if you're interested in even helping out or in any way, don't hesitate to go on to our website, and all of those emails will come to me eventually. So it's just, I think it's Rise.
Terrific.
I'm not sure what that email address, but if you go into our inquiry form and fill it in and just give us some details.
There's another one that's the www.francis-black.net. We'll also give
That's my own website.
That's your own
email
website.
Email me there as
Absolutely.
Well. Absolutely.
Francis?
Just Google Francis Black and you'll get it.
Francis, thank you for joining us, and thank you for what you are doing, indeed, for people in great need. Good
Thank
luck
so much,
and God bless. Sorry I missed you while you were here, but we were out of town. We'll
I heard you were down in the beautiful place. so I hope you had a lovely week.
It was great. It was great. Thank you, Francis.
All right, Aidan. Thank you so much. God
okay.
bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
And, friends, you are listening to the Flannelly Show live from New York. And we are going to be with you for the next 2 hours. For anybody who would like to hear that interview, or for that matter, any of our interviews are archived. And you can access them with irishradio.com. That is www.irishradio.com. A great favorite Irish artist who is doing more good, or at least as much good as her great career is affording.
Who's the most popular?